Poison Rana.
Rana, what up, though?
Music hit, the crowd is lit, you know it's going down. Announcers know that pound for pound, these superstars, the dopest round. The Detroit will lock you in a lion tamer, no disclaimer. Me inside your back, you forced to tap, it's facts, you in some danger. See no tagging and suplexing like he tazz and spazzing out on rappers. Give receipts as stiff as mannequins, we cashing in. My brothers know what up though, my cousins know what up though. My fans and the family from the city say what up though. My mama know what up though. My auntie say what up though. All around the city, if you with me, say what up though. Bring the hammer like it's Valentine. You know we about that.
What up though? Welcome to a brand new episode of What Up Though. I'm your host, B Detroit. Back again with my brother John Cena. What's going on, bro?
What's going on? I feel like it's been a while since they've heard our voices, at least on this platform. But we've heard our voices plenty enough because we were together last week. Mm-hmm. Did a little something for the Post Wrestling Cafe as well. We talked about some extreme. But as far as like on the Poison Rana airways, it's been a while since they heard both of us on What Up Though.
Yeah. Excuse the both of us, actually, guys, because, of course, you know, we've been at the WrestleMania weekend this past weekend, and then both of our voices are just barely recuperating right now. When I got to Philadelphia on Friday afternoon, I had just been nonstop partying from then on all the way until Monday night. So it's been rough. Like, I really destroyed my voice Friday night at the ECW tribute show, and it didn't get any better for NXT or Mania, because I knew I was going to go crazy for all these theme songs and Trick Williams theme song, and I knew it. So I just destroyed my voice. So I'm sorry ahead of time, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to this episode. Thank you for listening. If you could bear through it, I'm not as bad as I was before, so I'm doing pretty good now. What about you, Cena?
I'm just feeling like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fatigue setting in or just I caught something at the ECW arena, but like the last couple of days of coming back, I've been feeling kind of out of it. Like my whole sleep schedule has been out. Like I just randomly fall asleep at like 8 o'clock last night. I wake up at 3, go back to sleep at 12. Like I don't know what's going on, but my body's, I think, trying to tell me that you might have caught something. You might have caught something in the 2300 arena. But other than that, I'm okay. I'm a little wrestled out, but like I literally like I'm still trying to catch up to things from WrestleMania week that I didn't get to see. And I'm still trying to catch up to the shows as they're going on in real time. So I'm just like, fuck, like I never had this issue before, but I feel like there's so much stuff happening. And it's like, I want to keep, you know, I want to keep up with everything. I want to watch New Japan, Windy City Riot. I want to see what the hell Jack Perry's doing over there. But there's so much to catch up on, man. But I'm trying my best, man.
Yeah. It has been tough. A lot of things that I'm just behind on, like I'm behind on a ton of podcasts. I'm still like behind on like two or three Road Diaries from the from Poison Rana, actually. A couple of John Away podcasts that I'm just behind on that I really want to check out. So getting back into the flow of work after Mania is going to get me back into my podcast grind, because that's most of the time when I listen to all my podcasts. Wrestling too. I usually watch a lot of wrestling at work too. So everything is going to fall back into play in about a week. So I'll be, and I'm like you said, I'm pretty wrestled out, man. I had tickets to yesterday's show at SmackDown, but I had to go to work. Thankfully, because I think I'm all wrestled out. So, you know, I think I've seen enough live shows for the next couple months. And I think the next time I'll see live wrestling to be like Money in the Bank in Toronto, hopefully.
Yeah, me too. People are already like trying to plan like SummerSlam and Mania next year. I'm just like, dude, just relax. Like, I need to personally relax. Like, I definitely want to do this stuff, but it's like, slow down a little bit. So
yeah, it's a bit much, man. It's just, I had a great time though. Like always, most of the time, like you hear on this network a lot. Most of the time we get together, it's more so the hang. Other than the wrestling, is just like in the background of us just hanging together. Finally, I finally got to meet Chris Leone and Dickie Bird. So it's like my first time hanging with these guys too. So it's like a crazy experience just to have all of us together. We met during the pandemic, and now we finally get to meet each other at a WrestleMania nonetheless. So it was just crazy. I'm just thankful to have friends like you guys, man. It was a great experience. I haven't stopped talking about it yet, and my voice is shot. So
it was definitely a blast to be in that house, the BSK house. Shout out to Davey Portman for hooking it up for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was great. Couldn't ask for a better bunch of guys. Like there was no problems, there was no issues, there was no fights. It was just dudes that love wrestling that came together and became friends and can talk about things that aren't wrestling and hang out. So yeah, we always say this, but I like one week I just want to hang out with all you guys and not even look at wrestling, but like it's so hard to do, right? It's like in our life, we need like an off season. We need like 2 months of no wrestling, but that's never going to happen, especially right now because wrestling is cool again, as the kids are saying.
Oh man, oh like the great Rock, the final boss said himself, wrestling, he's made cool wrestling cool again, and couldn't agree more. It's definitely getting to a point that everyone's talking to me about wrestling again. Yep. Like surprisingly, someone at work just before I left work this morning asked me about Tama Tonga, and I'm like, what? Like, he just randomly asked me about Tama Tonga, like, ah, what are they gonna do about my boy Roman? And I looked at him, I said, wait, you watched SmackDown last night? What happened? Like, so it's like people are watching again. Those filthy casuals are coming on back. The Rock got everybody going for Mania. Hopefully it translates into all of the wrestling, not just WWE. Hopefully it goes all around. Everybody gets curious about all the other wrestling, because every time someone who I don't expect talk to me about wrestling, I always try to shoot them to other places. Like, hey, you might want to check this out. Or he was in this organization first. Or, you know, I always try to pivot it and point them toward other wrestling and get those eyes over there too.
Yeah, I had my cousin hit me up like yesterday. He's like, hey, did you hear the Rock came back? I sent him back a video of like me there. I'm like, yeah, dude, I was there for like a whole week. And he's like, oh my God. So yeah, you're definitely getting like the non-casuals getting interested back in it. But yeah, I agree, man. Like, I don't, like, we talk about this tribalism shit. We think like it's gonna go away. Like, Adam Copeland, Edge had like the speech last week where it's like, you know, just love everything. And I'm like, okay, cool. At least AEW sees that. And they come back the following week with, here's some unseen footage of CM Punk. And it's like, what is going on?
Oh,
Well, I guess we'll talk about that later, but let's talk about the positives, man. WrestleMania, like I tell everybody, I can't say specifically it's the best WrestleMania of all time that I've seen, but it's probably the best one that I've been at. Mm-hmm. Out of the WrestleManias that I've been at, I think the overall experience is amazing. Night two more than night one. Night two was like perfection. I felt like I was like in a fever dream, like from beginning to end. The whole thing just felt great. And just being there with like most of the people that we were with, I think made it a better experience because tickets were expensive. We had to, like, you know, one person had to buy a ticket there, one person had to buy a ticket there. How did we start night two? We started night two all the way up the rafters behind the stage. And we're like, what's going on here? And we ended up the night like right in front of Cody Rhodes raising the title. It was like, you couldn't ask for a better placement than that. But
I'm just calling it the greatest heist of WrestleMania, us just making our way down into seeing the greatest shot, you know, Cody hosting that boat up. For night two, and which was a crazy, crazy main event. Mixed feelings on it, you know, surprisingly, but most positive, more positive than negative I've heard. But a lot of people a little bit down on it, a lot of the run-ins and stuff like that. Most were wanting a more traditional, straight-up man-to-man match, but we knew it wasn't going to be that.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be that, right? It's WrestleMania. It's a spectacle. We know we're going to get a whole bunch of shenanigans and whatnot, bloodline rules. Mm-hmm. I feel like if we were there in the building, like in the crowd, I feel like it's hard to not like it, but I can understand. Maybe I haven't gone back and watched anything from Mania, actually. I'm still trying to catch up to the shows that I wasn't at. Like, I just finished Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, just to see what's going on there. So I still need to, like, watch, like, the two nights of Mania. I do want to, like, see the entrances and everything, just kind of see how it reflected on TV. But just, like, being there on Raw and then watching SmackDown, I can see so many changes, like, for the better. I love all these, like, camera angles they're doing. I love, they're like, I don't know if you noticed it, but they're starting to back away from the, like, the AR reality stuff they used to do, like, when they come out. They kind of stopped doing that also. Yep. So I feel like they're just being more grounded and more real, and I feel like this is, like, my style. This is, like, what AEW promised in a way, and I feel like WWE is like, we're going to do it now instead. It's really weird to think, like, the ways have turned. I'm not, like, totally writing AEW off, but they got to step up. They got to get their shit together and stop worrying about the past. And they have a great roster. They need to like step it up, honestly, at this point.
This is what we all asked for. This is what we asked for when the AEW came about. Oh, great. They're going to bring competition. And WWE really stepped up to that competition. They were like, okay, well, you got the best wrestlers. We're going to show you the presentation that you guys don't have. We're going to show you everything that you lack, and we're going to put it on a bigger schedule. I mean, a bigger scale. And that's just what happened. Not saying that. Yeah, AEW's not down and out. They're just making some moves that I don't agree with, and I don't think helps their product at all. Like the stunt we did Wednesday. Like I said, we'll get into that. But the Mania, man, I've went back and watched a couple entrances, and that's because that's my whole thing. Mania Night 1, I had a great seat for. I didn't have to move. Pretty good. So that was my whole thing. I wanted to see all the entrances, and I should have got it for night two because I didn't know that night two was going to be the grandiose entrance that I wanted. I wanted to see the Roman entrance and the seat I had on night one. That would have been way better.
Yeah, I like how, like, night two differed from night one. I think I brought this up. Like, night two had, like, the better entrances. Night two had, like, the surprises. Night two just, like, it felt totally different from night one. It felt like I made this joke, like, The Rock booked night one. and Triple H booked Night 2. I feel like it was just more of his like presentation, just having Stephanie out there, and just like even like when it started with like the freaking crazy Seth Rollins entrance, I didn't know what was going on, but I'm like, I love this. I later found out it's like a Philly thing that they do there. Yep. Well, that was freaking amazing just to see like all those colors and entrances and everything. But yeah, it just felt so much more special Night 2, honestly. The only thing I would change, if I had to change one thing, I would have had Austin instead of Taker. That's just because just to see like Austin and Rock like face to face would have just been amazing, but I understand why like he doesn't want to do it or whatever. But it's cool. I mean, Taker, I'm not going to complain about Taker, but I think that would have been the only little thing I would have changed, but I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, I would have most definitely loved to see Rock sell a stunner.
Right?
That's, in the middle of that ring. You know, the chokeslam was fine, don't get me wrong, but Rock did most of that chokeslam. But if he would have flipped around for a stunner one last time, that would have really solidified that Mania as one of the best ever. But
It might still happen. You never know. It might still happen. I feel like if Austin's going to come in, he's got to work with CM Punk, and he's got to work with Rock. Yeah. And either a promo, it doesn't have to be a match, but we're going to get that Austin Rock face off at least one more time.
Absolutely. And I think Austin's smart, man. He's not going to. He sees where the trajectory of his damn business right now, the way they're going. They're doing good business right now. And I'm pretty sure the Rock can sway him. Come here. Let me sell one of those stunners one more time. And let's get it out the way, man. But other than Mania, we did get a chance to go see the ECW tribute show like we mentioned before, which was really cool. I got to live out my childhood dreams of being in the 2300 arena and screaming at Francine. That was amazing. I got to sing Enter the Sandman for the whole 7 minutes of the song.
We had our own little circle like right in the corner, and all the wrestlers when they came out, they would talk to us and kind of interact with us, and that was really cool, kind of getting blessed by Samu and Chris Leone as well, blessing us. But it was just a fun event to go there. Like that's when I first found out. I was like, you know what, I'm buying tickets for all you guys. I knew it was gonna be good wrestling, but I knew it was gonna be a good experience, and like I didn't want you guys to miss out. So I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. And I don't regret it whatsoever. I think it was amazing just to be in there and just to relive like as best as possible that ECW era.
Yeah, it was great to it was a great night one hang, you know, because we didn't have to really pay attention to the ring.
Yeah.
We were really still like just shitting around and drinking and going to the bar back and forth.
Yeah, I felt like we're just hanging out in the club. They just happened to have wrestling in the background.
Just happened to have wrestling in the background. Oh, just this guy's hitting each other with chairs in the background. And Enzo Amore aggressively kissing a woman on the side. Enzo Amore, now this is what up, though. We talk about music on this show a lot. Enzo handed one of our friends a burnt CD, right? Have we been able to find out what's the contents of the CD yet?
So I'm still trying to catch up to podcasts, and I think that's like the saga of it. And last I heard, I think on Up Next, they were saying they were going to have a listening party for it before Dynamite. So I'm not sure if Graham brought it over and they actually were able to do it, because I think they they have a PlayStation. Like, that's a CD player, right?
Right.
So I think that was the last I heard of it. I haven't got an update yet, but I'm sure on the Poison Round of Feeds on one of these shows, we'll find out the... what do you think is on it? You think it's actual music? It's probably like his rap stuff. Doesn't he do music? It's probably like his rap.
He does do music, but it said like Rock Mix 47 or something like that.
I mean, that could just be like the name of his mixtape. Who knows? You know, it could just be hip hop over rock samples. I don't know.
I want to know. I hope it's a couple beats on there. I hope it's like a CD that he like were planning to do a couple of songs on. He did like two in the beginning or something like that.
You know what I mean? If I ever bump into it, because I feel like I always bump into Enzo like random shows. But yeah, you got any of those, you have Rock Music Volume 44? You know, I'm trying to get the next one now.
The anthology of all the rock mixes. Shout out Enzo, I guess. But yeah, that was a cool show. Also NXT Saturday morning, which was crazy. Because actually being kind of hungover from the ECW show and all the drinking I've done, because I got kind of loopy night one, like I said before. We walked into an NXT. I was extremely hungover, and I still had a good time, though. The crowd showed up, one of the biggest gates, they say, for NXT, right?
Yeah, it was like 16,000 people. That was the first show where I actually felt like into it, because I went out on Wednesday when Davey came into New York. We had a pretty wild night, so
right.
I felt like crap, like Thursday, and even like a little bit into Friday. Like, I was okay, but I wasn't like totally into it. I woke up Saturday morning, I was like, okay, now I'm ready for wrestling, and like NXT just happened to be the first show. So for me, like, I enjoyed that show only because my body felt like enjoyed. I was ready for it. As soon as it was over, it felt like the WrestleMania kickoff. I'm like, oh, now we're going to WrestleMania. Like, well, let's go. So NXT definitely did it for me. Just see, like, we did, me and Frank went to the not, I want to say TakeOver, but the last NXT PLE last time. So we got to see, like, Trick Williams and a bunch of other guys live. But I know this is, like, the first time you got to see him and Brayden and Davey. So just to see, like, the Lyra Valkyria and Oba Femi and all these people. Like, and hearing, like, the crowd actually know the chants that they do with the PC was kind of cool to see. Right. They're like, oh, 16,000 people, and a good percentage of these people actually watch the product. They're not just here because it's a wrestling show. They're here because they actually, like, know these people. So I kind of was, like, very, like, optimistic about NXT. I mean, it's really good. They can actually start touring again if they really wanted to and start doing shows, you know, around the U.S. if they wanted to.
I would say I don't find a problem with that. They should start touring immediately, because I think they should start seeing these small pockets of places who don't get to see them. Like, when they used to come to Detroit for NXT, it was always inside a small music theater in Royal Oak. And I love those shows. Those were the best shows because it was in the theater. It almost looked like Hammerstein if it was smaller. It was like you're sitting up in a balcony. It's great seats everywhere, but it's a WWE production. So it's great production. It's screens everywhere. It's smoke and everything. So it's like really, really cool. And it's real intimate too. So nice. A lot of chances to bump into these guys, you know. So I think they should go on tour. That's a great idea.
Looking forward to a heat wave in Toronto. I think it's going to be wild. People are going to be up there for Money in the Bank. You're going to have those three shows back to back there with SmackDown. I think that NXT show is going to be really cool for sure.
You know what I love too? They've been doing the small sets lately to get more people in the building. And I'm not against that at all. It's a good strategy. But like last night at SmackDown, they didn't do the same scale as they did all weekend in Philadelphia. But it's still a small set. So they still fat more people in there. Completely sold out house too.
I'm okay with that. It makes them look like it makes the whole thing feel special, because you got just fans all over the place just spilling over the barricades. Like, why are you trying to hide them with this big set? What does a big set do? Save the big set for the big pay-per-views, for the big PLEs. You don't need to do this for Raw. That Raw that we went to the night after Mania, I wish the rest of the crew could have stayed for it, because that Raw was special, man. Like, I had a feeling. This is the first like real Raw after Mania where the Triple H is running. I feel like it's going to be a big show. And just when we got there, and the fact that they just took the set down and kept it like that, that place was packed. I took a picture of like the overall scope of it, and it looks so freaking packed in there. I think it broke the record for like the Raw gate or whatever. But that show was special, and just having Cody's celebration and The Rock coming out and handed him a mixtape, whatever he handed him, that was just a really cool show to attend. And we got a couple like surprises there from NXT with Dragon Alvin and Roxanne. It wasn't like, you know, the best Raw ever, but I think it was a really good Raw after Mania.
It was, the crowd was most of the Raw. They tried to get a little beach ball mania going, but the security was not having it. I seen like four or five beach balls, and
itself. It's like, we're not doing that anymore. I know you gave, because we were sitting a little bit apart for Raw. We had like the same section, but like our seats were kind of like spread apart. But when they show like that mysterious what I think is Uncle Howdy segment, you kind of looked at me like, what the hell is that? And I filmed it and I put it up, and people were like, oh my god, this has to be Uncle Howdy. I'm hearing it could be like Alexa Bliss as well. It could be both of them. I know they've been like putting like little teasers on like Raw and SmackDown. On SmackDown, I think it's something about like you missed me or something you forgot about, or something along those lines. But like the fact that they say you forgot about us, I'm like, okay, I think it's going to be like a whole crew. It's going to be the original idea of the Wyatt Six that Bray was trying to do before he passed away. So I think we're definitely going to get Uncle Howdy, Alexa, possibly some others as well. But I'm actually looking forward to this. I some people are skeptical about it because it was like Bray's thing, and it's like, oh, they're just trying to redo it. But I feel like, if this is his brother and he knew the ideas that Bray had, he knew his vision, why not carry the legacy? If he knows exactly what he wanted to do, why not continue it? You have an opportunity to do it. You don't always have that when people pass away. So if you have a brother there who's on a contract and he wants to continue this, I'm all for it, man, honestly.
I would like to see, like you said, Bo, Alexa, possibly Rowan and Strowman. A part of this, because Strowman's doing nothing. And I'm pretty sure he'd be honored to be a part of this group to honor Bray. So that'll be a great start. You got two bigs. You got Bo as the singles guy. You got Alexa as in the women's division. So that's a ready-made stable. And we got a lot of stable warfare going on right now. So
a lot of stables. We got Bloodline 2.0 happening right now.
2.0. Can we talk about that a little bit? You know,
absolutely.
This is exciting. All right. This is exciting. This is the epilogue to the Bloodline Part 1. I didn't expect it to come so soon, but I was already aware that they signed Tama Tonga. I didn't expect him to show up in Detroit. We heard some bubblings that he was in Detroit earlier, and I was like, oh, it's the night, and it's the had to be the night I missed too. So because I wanted to be in that crowd going crazy, letting everybody know who it was. But apparently my brother was there, and he like, no, people knew who he was.
Good. That's
people
good.
Knew exactly who he was. Because he asked me, and I was like, no, that's Aku's son. He's like, oh yeah, he remembered him. But he said the people around knew exactly who Tama Tonga was. There were a little bit of pops every now and then in the crowd, but I'm glad some people knew. Yeah. It's okay that a lot of people don't know, because I mean, he was in New Japan. A lot of people don't watch New Japan. A lot of WWE fans don't watch New Japan. It's hard to access sometimes. So it's okay. But I'm pretty sure he can prove himself. And he's jumping right into a hot story.
Well, not only that, but he's skipping over NXT. Like, even Solo was in NXT for a little bit. Yeah. Like, it's I can't name that many people that skipped skipped NXT and went straight to the main roster. Like, obviously, Jade Cargill's one. AJ Styles is, like, the last really big name. I'm sure there's been others in between. Yep. But, like, Tama Tonga, somebody who hasn't been a world champion, he's been on the world champion level wrestling in New Japan, obviously. But he's never been, like, you know, in front of people's eyes. He never was in AEW. So that's pretty good that people actually, like, recognize him. And I hate to toot my own horn, but people were like, oh, after this is done, the blood, what are you going to do next? And I kept telling people, like, listen, no, what's going to happen is Jimmy's going to lose and Roman's going to lose, and then they're probably going to get replaced. They're going to get replaced because there's plenty of other bloodline people out there, right? And I knew about Jacob Fatu signing. I knew about Tama Tonga. So I'm like, it only makes sense to introduce him this way. And I pretty much called this. I'm like, yeah, they're going to turn on Jimmy for losing to Jay, and they're going to replace him with Tama Tonga or Jacob Fatu, and happen to be Tonga. The one thing I didn't really think was going to happen was, like, Solo kind of taking charge of it. I thought it was gonna be more of like Paul Heyman kind of doing it, but it looks like Solo like was even telling Paul Heyman to kind of like stand back, I got this type thing, like when he tried to call the Rock. So that actually interests me to see like Solo in like a leadership role. I'm like, that's pretty cool actually. So I think it's only a matter of time till Jacob Fatu comes in. I think he probably would have yesterday if he didn't have like some indie show that he was doing. But when we bumped into him, I bumped into him at the ECW show. He was kind of like keeping low key, like he had his hoodie on, but I knew it was him. And he was hanging out with a bunch of, you know, Zilla was there and Lance on Hawaii and a Tonga Twins. I was like, I feel like the Rock's gonna bring in like this entire family, honestly. And one thing that I would do, honestly, I would have if they're contractually free to sign to WWE, I would have the Tonga Twins come in with Nia Jax and beat up the big three.
Dude, I've been saying, why is Nia Jax not in the bloodline? She's the biggest heel in the women's division. Yeah. Why is she not in the bloodline? No matter if you like her or not, she should be in the bloodline. Anybody heat going to that stable is good. They need heat. I mean, we all love the bloodline a little bit. So they need as much heat as possible.
Yeah. And you could, like, the way I would do it, I would definitely have her involved with Naomi, because Naomi's obviously get married to Jimmy Uso, who's been kind of like excommunicated from that. So have her side with her husband, and then have Nia Jax kind of feud with Naomi. Naomi gets back up in Jade and Bianca, and that's when you bring in the Tonga Twins and have like 3-on-3. That's what I would do. I don't know if it's possible, obviously, but that's something that I think would be amazing. Amazing. I'm sure me and Brandon Harrington would be the two like screaming our asses off because we are the big Tonga Twins marks for sure.
Didn't you guys run into the Tonga Twins?
We did. Yeah, they were there at the EC. A couple of the Wild people were there, but yeah, they were there. Like nobody really knew who they were, but I was like, I knew Chaos and Kona. I know exactly who you two are.
Yeah, man, this is gonna be nice, man. I believe that. I've always thought Tama Tonga had a WWE style, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of like why it took him so long to really like pop in New Japan. Not saying that it took him long. His tag division stuff was good. GOD was good always. And he was always the shining star at GOD. But I was like, yeah, this dude he's WWE, he's NXT, whatever. But this is definitely a platform for him to work with guys like, and especially look at the roster now we got. And to add him, Tama Tonga, in there, he can mix it up with Nakamura again. He can mix it up with AJ again. It's like, it's so much stuff you can do with him. He didn't have to worry about the OC, thank God. But you can. He can feud with AJ.
Yeah.
Just because of that. He can feud with Cody because of that, because of those Bullet Club ties. With Finn also, he's an original member of the Bullet Club. So. Yeah.
And Tama's got two more brothers over there that could possibly make their way over. So it's really exciting times, man. Really exciting times. Did you check out the Kenny Omega comments that he had?
No.
On the whole Brawl Out thing? So I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I was reading what Andrew Thompson put on Post Wrestling. But basically, he was like trying to talk about Brawl Out as best as possible, you know, obviously with an NDA and everything. But what I got out of it was like he was trying to be like the good guy. He was... Honestly, he said the main reason why he was there was to make sure Larry the dog was fine, which I'm like, okay, that's cool. I respect that. He's trying to save the dog. But then he made it seem like it was like he's without saying it, he was pretty much saying like this is all the Young Bucks and Tony Khan's fault. And like he was trying to like work with CM Punk. And he's like, I even try to communicate with CM Punk, but I just can't because of the people that I know. After I heard this, I'm like, I feel like Kenny's not staying here. He even was like, oh, I'm a terrible EVP. He was saying all this stuff. And I'm like, honestly, I could see Kenny Omega, as soon as he's able to leave, I could see him in WWE, especially all the people that are there now. Like you said, all the Bullet Club ties. I would love to see a Kenny Omega one run in WWE.
Man, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to happen before his body completely gives up on him. And he knows he's going to do it. And I think everybody else knows he's going to do it, too. First of all, let's not act like just because AEW around and all these other companies around, that every wrestler who ever put on a pair of boots and trained doesn't want to wrestle for WWE. All right, let's not act like that. We got to stop acting like that as wrestling fans, and the IWC's got to. We got to realize, like, dude, if you ever put on some boots, you want to wrestle for the WWE. All right, you want to be in WrestleMania, you want to be in a Royal Rumble. All right, everybody does. So of course Kenny wants to, man. Of course he.
The amount of non-WWE wrestlers that I saw like in the crowd of WrestleMania, like from TNA, just Stardom, and they were all like, "Oh, this is amazing! The spectacle, this and that." It's like, yeah, of course they would love to do this at least once in their lifetime. It's if you're saying no, you're lying to yourself, honestly. Yeah, unless you did it already. Man. If you did it already, then okay. But like this new era, the PLE, whatever you say, things are better. Things aren't perfect, obviously, but things are definitely better to the point where somebody who looked at WWE in a certain way might actually give them an opportunity and a chance now. So.
Of course. But, and then like the way things are going, if Kenny is feeling like that, it's alternatives, of course. I mean, he doesn't look like a guy who's like struck for money. Like he's going to go where the bag is. Now he want to go where he's going to wrestle. You know, he's going to go where he's respected as a wrestler as well. So, and I think Triple H is definitely going to let him do his thing. Now, before, yeah, I understand when there were a different regime going on, but I think Paul's got it, man. Paul's got it. He's been holding it down for a while. And is Stephanie back officially?
No, they said that she was just there for the Hall of Fame and Mania, but she has no role whatsoever. She was there to support her man. She was like, this is my man. This is his era, you know? It's like, even like her segment or the way she started Mania Night 2 was kind of like, fuck my dad. This is my husband shit now. Like, she's pretty much saying that without saying it. And I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here. So I think that was really important for her to do that. I hope Shane comes back also. I hope Shane kind of does something as well. I don't know if he's going to, but
I don't know. I don't want to see Shane possibly trying to get in the ring either. No wrestling.
Just to make an appearance. Bring back Raw Underground.
Hey, if Shane's going to bridge the gap in Raw Underground with Bloodsport.
Shane McMahon's Bloodsport.
Shane McMahon presents Josh Burnett.
So that's how I started my Mania week. The first show I saw was Bloodsport on that Thursday. And just that was surreal, just being in there. And like to the right of me was like half the WWE roster was there. Like freaking Braun Strowman, Nia Jax, CM Punk was there. Then the night ended with freaking Nick Khan coming out the curtain. And like, I'm like, this is really cool. The fact that they want to work with, Charlie Dempsey was on the show and obviously Shayna Baszler. But the fact that they're willing to work with these companies. I wouldn't rule out a Shane McMahon appearance on a Bloodsport,
That's cool, man. Point. It's just like, it's just breaking bread, bro. It's because WWE doesn't have to loan out anybody, right? But GCW, we're going to go to GCW shows regardless, right? Why not loan some guys and let them pop the house too? Why not? They're not doing anything.
They're actually doing a couple GCW shows on Money the Bank weekend in Toronto. So I was like, ooh, that could be a good opportunity to have some NXT or some WWE people on that show.
Hey, go scratch your fucking itch in the indies, man. And they're going to make more money for having people there just to see that crossover. And everybody makes money, man. And that's what the whole thing is about. I mean, look, I'm wearing a CM Punk shirt. All right. I'm here to make money. And it's just cool to see these guys actually feed their families the right way, man.
Yeah.
In the ring, doing the thing. And that Shayna Baszler's match was really fucking good, too. By the way, if you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, check that one out. That's the one Bloodsport match I did see. That was dope. That was dope. Shayna's a killer, and I'm glad they let her kill people now.
She'd be perfect in there, for sure, if they continue this. I know they're doing a Bloodsport show in like Japan in the next couple months or so. Nice. Send Nakamura over there. Send Shinsuke Nakamura to Bloodsport.
Send Shinsuke and... Gulak's in trouble. Drew Gulak's in trouble.
We probably won't see Drew Gulak anytime soon.
So. Yeah, I forgot about that. Send Chad Gable. Send Chad Gable and Karrion Kross.
Okay, the Kree brothers.
Kree bros in the Bloodsport.
Have them face each other. Julius versus Brutus in a Bloodsport match.
Bloodsport match. Ugh. Why isn't Karrion Kross doing Bloodsport? He's perfect for it.
He did it last year, I think, when he wasn't on the contract. I think when he got released, like the first time, I think he did Bloodsport. And he was in the crowd there as well, so he's definitely into it. I could definitely see him there, man, for sure. The Authors of Pain, obviously.
Ellering walk him out. Yeah, Ellering or AOP walk him out. Or just AOP in the fucking match, too. Those guys are massive. They were at that autograph signing. And Jesus Christ, that's a big dude. Those are big dudes, man. Those are huge guys. Oh yeah, by the way, never seen Obafemi in a live event, and he's another unit of a man. All right. These are guys, top three guys I don't want to see in Dark Alley. Obafemi, Bron Breakker.
And scary guys right here.
Bron is terrifying, because when he hits the ropes, this is, I think, my first two nights seeing Bron in ring. I've never seen him in ring before. Mm-hmm. And it's not a gimmick, ladies and gentlemen. When Bron hits those ropes, he's about 40 miles per hour.
And he's facing some of the fastest guys in Axiom and Frazier. So I was like, this dude's keeping up with these dudes.
You know, he's smoking Axiom and Frazier. Once he hits the second rope, he's already at like 35. You know what I mean? He's 40 miles per hour going. And I would hate to get speared by that man. But what else? You know, it was night one, night two, then Raw. But I missed SmackDown. We got to that. But in the middle of that, we said we're going to get off to the EVP talk and the AEW. We got to get into the actual meat and potatoes of the video. I mean, I know everybody's heard everyone talk about it already, but it's just a couple things that I have to get at. It's more funny than anything to me now, because I've watched it so many times, and just Hook just off in the side not doing anything is the funniest thing to me. Joe barely having to put in any struggle to hold back Jungle Boy is hilarious. Tony Khan said he feared for his life. I don't know. Everybody's talking about a lunge that Punk did. I don't think I've seen a lunge.
At the very end, on the top right, you do see like monitors and a table, but you can't really see who's sitting behind a table. But you do see like the monitors kind of fall over. And at the very end, Punk does kind of like lean into somebody who I guess we assume is Tony Khan before he got like separated by, I think it was Malachi Black and Chris Hero and a bunch of the other dudes. So yeah, we obviously don't hear, we couldn't hear what he said, but that's, I guess, the moment where Tony Khan feared for his life. But the video was exactly what I expected it to be. I don't know what the reasoning for the video was. I mean, they're trying to play it into this whole feud of FTR and Young Bucks, but it's like, it's pretty silly. Cause like, I've seen footage of like, when they showed it in the arena, and the whole crowd's chanting CM Punk. And then later on, when the bus came out, they're chanting CM Punk. And it's like, you're literally like building this based on a guy that's not even part of your roster. So it's like, I don't know how this benefits you.
No, I'm
sure it's going to be a great match between the Bucks and FTR, but people don't really care about that. They care about CM Punk at this point. And this, you can't really do anything about that. It sucks because like the week before, like I said, Edge was like saying, you know, rah, rah, love wrestling. And now it's like, now you're telling people to kind of like, not pick sides, but now you're telling people to kind of like, oh, this is what really happened, so don't believe what this guy says on the other show. And it's like, I don't know.
It's extremely odd, especially that, like you said, to have Edge go out there, even if he did it on his own accord, but to have Edge go out there and just be like, everybody shut up, you know, and stop watching videos online. But then you release a video online, then you take it back, which was barely a fight. All right. If that same thing happened in a bar, none of these guys get put out the bar.
No.
All right. None of these guys, everybody gets back to their beer and whatever the hell they were doing after that. It was barely a smudge, you know, like that.
I think it was more of Tony Khan was trying to like get rid of CM Punk for the longest, and he just needed something. This was something that he could have actually used. I'm not saying he made up the whole fear for his life thing, but at least he could have used that. Like, hey, these things were falling on me. I was scared of my life. We had to get rid of this guy. So maybe that's like the final straw, whatever the case is. But yeah, it's like, then you have like wrestlers that are like, oh, just shut up and enjoy wrestling, like Sammy Guevara, and then 2 seconds later he posts a picture of himself hugging Jack Perry. So it's like, you can't like say one thing and then kind of fuel the fire with another pose. That's why I don't understand at all. And I know a lot of AEW people were butthurt with a lot of the comments that WWE people were saying. Like, I know like Triple H threw a couple shots at Jose Will Ospreay, and he had to go back and say something back. So it is what it is. Like, I'm just kind of tired of it. Honestly, I wish AEW would just move on for this and focus on, you know, Okada, Mercedes Moné. Mercedes Moné, she hasn't done shit since being there. I'm so sorry. Like, did you see what happened on Dynamite? So she's doing a segment.
I did. And I had to turn my damn volume down. And
I'm not even talking about the promo part. The promo part, that's always been a negative for Sasha. But like, just the whole segment where the lights went out and they come back on and she's on the floor, like with the illest stomach ache ever, going I'm just like, they're just stalling time because she's not wrestling till next month, right, in Las Vegas, so she's not gonna have a match till then. So yeah, that's gonna be her first match in at Double or Nothing, so we're literally gonna have to just hear her talk for another month straight, and that's not what people usually tune into Mercedes Moné for.
Yeah, and that, you know what's crazy, because they did the lights out jump, right, lights out, now we're gonna do another who's done it. This is the how many times are we doing this Who's Done It in AEW. All right. Now, Who's Done It is okay when it's done right, but it's a little repetitive now. And plus, I want to see you in the ring. It's no, you're not going to be cracking heads until you find out who's done it. You're going to be yep. cutting promos until you find out who's done it. It's a difference. So that's hard to get me intrigued into. Then is this even going to be tied into a title?
So she pretty much says she wants the winner of Willow and Julia Hart, and they're fighting this weekend at Dynasty. So storyline sense, you would think Willow would win because Sasha has beef with her from when she got injured last year. Mm-hmm. But like this attack seems like something Julia Hart would do, right? The House of Black always turns the lights off and on. That's like their thing. Right. Another thought I had was maybe she's not 100% healthy, because I know in the past, like whenever people do get attacked, they never show it, right? They turn the lights off, they turn it back on, and the person's mysteriously attacked. That happened with Daniel Bryan when he was still, like, retired. Right. So that's what I thought. Maybe she's just not 100% ready, but they just don't want to say it because they just signed her and presented her, and it's like they don't want to say, hey, she's hurt, whatever. So maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But, yeah, doesn't seem like a Willow thing to do, right, to kind of turn the lights off and on. It could be, like, a thing where Chris Statlander, I could see her being the person that attacked Mercedes because she's, like, friends with Willow. Maybe she wanted to help out, but who knows? There's plenty of people it could have been.
I still think that Mercedes is wasting her time going after the damn TBS title.
She said when she first signed with AEW, pretty much she's going to go back to WWE. She pretty much said it without saying it. So it's like, why are you here? You're just here to collect the paycheck.
You're here to collect the TBS title for like a month, and then I get it. But like I said, if she's not going for the AEW women's title, what the hell are we even doing here? If this doesn't pay off to beat Toni Storm, I don't care. Because I don't care about the TBS title. Because I barely see it. Because it's a Rampage product. You know, I don't see this title. I don't watch Rampage, unfortunately. But I don't know. Yeah, they're fumbling Mercedes with me. They're fumbling Okada for me.
You're not liking his heel stick?
Not liking Okada's heel stick. Because honestly, I'm forgetting about it because of all this controversy with CM Punk and the Bucks. Like
that's the problem.
I don't care about a Rainmaker right now. I just don't care about it. Unless he's like just in the ring having Kakeshita matches. I don't care about Okada's heel. He has nothing to do with this surveillance video. And that's the Young Buck story right now. So what's the point of all this right now? Who else did we just sign?
Osprey.
Osprey.
I mean, him and Danielson. Dude. I mean, I'm sure the match is going to be amazing for sure. Danielson and Osprey.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely going to watch that. I wonder how Danielson feels about like even the Triple H remarks surrounding his story now. It's like, dude, I wanted to just wrestle you probably. And, you know, but I don't know. I'm very curious to how the rest of the locker room feels about everything that's going on in this company, though. You know, like everybody, of course they're going to support it like on the Twitters and everything, but I really want to know. I wish I could just be a fly on the wall just to hear what's going on.
I'm sure a lot of people are probably really pissed off at this. I mean, did you see the face that Tony Schiavone did? Like, I'm sure a lot of people felt
way. Yeah.
He was like, this guy's been through all this shit with WCW, right? He's just looking there with his hand in his face. I'm hearing rumors of like Hook possibly wanting out when his contract is done, so I can see him leaving. I'm sure Ricky Starks is probably one foot in WWE already, hanging out backstage with Cody Rhodes. A lot of these AEW originals, I could definitely see them leaving, especially if they keep bringing people like Ospreay and Mercedes and Okada. It's like there's no more room for these people. I'm sorry, like, okay, they can throw you on Ring of Honor, but it's like nobody's really watching you, you know?
Yeah. And then like I was wondering how the hell we're gonna do Forbidden Door. Like what is the match at Forbidden Door? What is it? Like, you have Ospreay already and Okada.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more of them working with CMLL and maybe Stardom, so bringing in some other companies that aren't New Japan. But yeah, like you said, they pretty much have the Forbidden Door participants in their roster already. So it's not going to be as special as it was the first 2 years. And you know how it's not special? It was supposed to be an Arthur Ashe Stadium. Then whatever happened, they're just like, no, we're going to do it in Long Island instead at a regular arena. And I'm like, okay, but I already, like, guess my expectations kind of lower, because it's like you obviously had big idea for this being in the big stadium, finally doing Arthur Ashe in a pay-per-view setting, but now you're just gonna do a regular arena show, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not really like intrigued with it, honestly. I'm sure it'll be a great show, but like you said, there's no like dream matches I want to see. I don't want to see Yota Tsuji versus Ospreay. Like, I don't really care for that.
You got Shingo, you got Naito, who else you got?
Evil?
I was just about to say Evil, but I didn't want to say Evil, but I was about to say Evil. I don't know, dude. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on in AEW, man. But it's also a lot going on in the rap games, you know? A lot going on. Between the last episodes of What Up, though, Kendrick Lamar has shaken up the rap game once again. And I think this is the first rap beef that What Up Though is actually live coverage on right now.
I'm going to take credit for waking up Kendrick from his hibernation, because I said a couple like episodes back that I just started listening to Kendrick, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm really getting into his stuff, and all of a sudden he's back in the limelight again.
Dude, but, he ever. Just to get everybody, if you're not a hip-hop fan, you've probably heard about a couple things. Anyway, if you like Drake, you probably heard about it. Kendrick Lamar did a feature on a new album from Metro Boomin and Future, album titled We Don't Like You, I think. No, We Don't Trust You was the first album. They just dropped the part two of that album, too.
Yep.
Song called Like That, Kendrick Lamar disses Drake and J. Cole just because of their comparison to... just because they were comparing each other. A couple lines like they had on a song called First Person Shooter with Drake and J. Cole. They referenced themselves as the Big Three and, you know, the top three rappers in the game. And Kendrick did not like to be compared or grouped together with these guys, because Kendrick is an advocate Drake hater. he's been dissing Drake for a couple years now. And for him to team up with his buddy, J. Cole, because J. Cole and Kendrick actually have like songs that have a secret album together that never came out. I guess Kendrick felt a little betrayed. I don't know, maybe. But he dropped a diss, and he dissed him on a little 16-bar verse, and these guys didn't like it. So J. Cole goes and drops a 12-song EP with about 8 songs worth of diss on Kendrick Lamar. entitled Might Delete Later. And just like
he did delete later.
Might Delete Later, he deleted a couple songs because he dissed it. Now, I'm going to give J. Cole his credit. These were great. These are good songs. These are good diss. And I know you were saying you didn't know it was a bunch of songs he dissed him on, but it was a song called, 7 Minute Drill, I think.
That was the one I listened to. That was the one that I kept hearing was like the diss song. The last track on the album.
But the actual 1 through 6 was a diss too. At the Dreamville Festival, a big festival that J. Cole performs at every year, he throws himself. He got on the stage and he kind of gave us a little bit of insight of him giving a diss back to Kendrick Lamar. He said that he didn't feel like himself dissing his friend. He said a couple things on there that he knew himself wasn't true, but it's just in the spirit of dissing. And rap beef. He called Kendrick's album like a dud or something like that. And
that's the part that I was so confused about that. I'm like, which albums is he exactly talking about? Because if you think about the ones that I'm trying to like
none
match up, it doesn't make sense. Like, his best album is the one that he said it was like mediocre. And I'm like, what? So now, like, listen to him deleting it, right? Or whatever, taking it back. It kind of makes sense because maybe he realized, wait, this shit doesn't make sense at all. Crazy. That's what I said.
He said the album that Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize on was like a mid. I was like, wait, the one he won the Literary Scholar Award on, you know? So it's kind of like, but he said it in all in the spirit of rap beef. I mean, when you're beefing, you kind of just ready to cut as low as possible. You don't really, you say whatever, you know? So I get that part, but
I'm actually looking at the lyrics now. The only line I actually liked that he said was, you fell off like the Simpsons. That's pretty good. But yeah. he said your first shit was classic, your last shit was tragic, your second shit put him to sleep, but they gassed it. Your third shit was massive, and that was your prime. So it's like, that doesn't really make sense, because his second album didn't put me to sleep. His second album was one of my favorite albums that he did, honestly.
To Pimp a Butterfly is the second album, right? Yeah. No, it was the album. But like you said, he didn't feel some of his things were valid. So he kind of apologized at this Dreamville Festival, which set fans in disarray. Everyone went crazy. A lot of people say, hey, I'm not listening to J. Cole anymore. You know, kind of like, you know, you want to say some things, you got to stand on it.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. I come from an era where of MCs, nobody apologized. Nobody apologized. If you're going to say what you say, say it. Say it with your chest. Don't fucking take it back. Not even a week later. That was very crazy. Weak to me. That, like, I don't really listen to J. Cole, but hearing that is not going to make me want to listen to him. Like, okay, like this dude's a certain way that I don't really know if I agree with.
I'm a Cole fan too, and that kind of let me down, because I'm a hip hop nerd. All right, I obsessed with hip hop. I love it so much. So I was ready for this beef. I'm like, yes, MCs are going to rap again. MCs, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, true MCs, and some of the last ones we have left.
Yeah.
They're going to go at it. And then he just reneged on everything. So fast forward to today. We've been waiting for Drake to respond for since Kendrick dropped the that one song. I forgot how long ago. It was like 3 weeks from now, right?
Yeah, about 3 weeks, yeah.
Drake usually never responds to Kendrick Lamar. Like I said, he's been dissing him for years now. So now an AI, alleged AI song has surfaced, right? With this Drake diss to a couple people, because apparently a lot of people has been jumping on his bandwagon of dissing Drake. It's like a 20v1, like you said in the song, right?
Yeah, ASAP Rocky put out a diss track also, I saw. Like
ASAP Rocky's on the he's on the new version of the Future album, and he says some shots at it, which understandable. ASAP Rocky, the father of Rihanna's children, and you know, Rihanna and Drake have some history, and it's some little bad blood there. I'm not sure if that track is, if it's real, Sino.
It's, so I listened to it a couple times, and like, there's a couple instances where I'm like, okay, it feels a little off, but then like, the way he's like inflecting his voice and the way he's saying certain things, I'm like, I don't think AI can do that, number one, and some of the things he's saying, I don't, like, if it is AI, it's done by somebody, maybe Drake himself did it in AI, which sounds weird, but like, the things he was saying, it's like things that not everybody would know, which it's weird. Like, true. Really weird. Like, it sounds real, but that also sounds fake. It's really hard to say nowadays.
It's not the content of the lyrics. It's not something you can't Google search. It's not something that's not like three or four Google searches away from putting that together, which AI is going to do.
Does AI know what Kendrick Lamar's shoe size is? Because according to this, it's a 7.
I think more so someone wrote this, because Drake doesn't even curse in a way that this song, you know,
yeah, he cursed a lot
that was
song, yeah.
That was my whole thing. I'm like, Drake doesn't curse like that, you know what I mean? And that's where I was stuck at, like, I don't know, unless he just owned one, he went in the studio like that and he felt like that way. I'm like, he don't curse like that. The way he put those words together in the midst of those curse words, I'm like, nah, that don't sound like Drake. That he's more clever with his words than that, you know, or whoever's doing Drake's words. I don't know. That's alleged too, but no. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. And then it didn't release. It's a leaked track, of course. It didn't release through any Apple or anything. So I feel like if it's not on a streaming site, I can't trust it, you know? And plus, I don't think that this is that good. I don't think it's that good. There's a lot of things. It's like, what are you even talking about? Where when you dissing someone like Kendrick Lamar did, he went straight at him. No questions about who he's talking about. No hidden messages, straight at him. So it's like, unless you do that nowadays, I don't want it. So I'm going to chuck this one up to AI until I hear a statement from OVO or Drake or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out for it. And Complex Music did put it out, like the actual like final version 2 hours ago. It's called Push Ups. I think it's the same song. So maybe it is official. Like there's videos of like Rick Ross laughing at it, like he's reacting, laughing at it. Supposedly Kendrick's people says that he has a vaulted diss song to Drake he's been holding for 4 years that he might release. So I'm like, oh, maybe it is
Kendrick
real.
Has one.
That's what it says here. It says Kendrick Lamar reportedly has a response diss track ready for Drake. Kendrick has been vaulting it for 4 years, according to academics.
I can believe that. I can believe that, because he's been ready for Drake to respond for him for a long time. So I can believe that.
So maybe Drake put it out, right? Maybe he used some AI elements just in case it backfires. Kind of like the whole All In footage thing.
Oh,
in case
Tony
it backfires, he can just kind of be like, oh, no, that's not me. That's
he
not
pulled
me.
A TK on us.
This, we always tell people this. There's so many similarities between hip-hop and wrestling. It's not even funny.
Hip-hop is wrestling. Wrestling hip-hop is hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why do you think so many rappers were at WrestleMania?
We didn't speak about that. We saw Snoop Dogg, we saw Lil Wayne
perform. Yeah, 2 Chainz, Wale.
Lil Wayne performed like what, eight bars from his a milli?
Like 6 bars. He yelled like 2. So it's this is crazy, man. Like we're in the times that we have to sit here and listen to a song 12 times to decipher if it's computer generated or not. What has hip hop come to, Sino?
It's not just hip hop. It's everything now. It's like I can't listen or watch something without like questioning it anymore, which is sad because like this could affect us, right? Somebody could come out tomorrow, a B Detroit Sino diss track. Like what the fuck? Like why you dissing me, B? You know what I mean? Like they could just take our voices right here and just make a whole podcast if they really wanted to. Yeah. And it's sad. It's sad to hear that. But it's also cool. Like actually, I've seen like the Cody Rhodes when he won the title. But like it was voiced by like Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon. That's awesome. Like things like that is really cool.
That's cool.
You actually use AI for really cool things, but then you can also use it for harm. So it's very scary. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know how the world's gonna look in 10 years with this AI stuff. But if it's already involving rap disses, it's a scary thing. Very scary.
That's weird because how dangerous rap is too.
Yeah.
You know, like you can AI a song about a rapper, and these guys take that stuff super serious. And
I hate to say this, but somebody could get killed over this shit.
Things like, can happen,
gonna,
you know.
Yeah, we're gonna,
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was like a plot of a movie. I'm pretty sure there's been a movie where somebody was killed, and it was framed by like a clone or AI or something. So it's gonna happen. I hate to say it, but it is gonna happen.
Yeah, because if the rapper catches another rapper before the AI catches up to it, it's going to be a bad sight. But I hope we don't get to that point. I hope that nothing ever happens like that. But it's possible, and it's super scary when it comes to, like I said, when it comes to rap, it's the most dangerous occupation, to quote MF Doom. It really is. You know, these guys aren't safe doing anything. So, and you just don't know how crazy the fans are. You know,
yeah.
you don't know how crazy a Drake fan is or a Kendrick Lamar fan is. Who knows? If that AI song gets out and it's just that crazy of a diss, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. Somebody could just bump into Drake and be like, yo, why'd you say that? He's like, what are you talking about?
I didn't release anything. If you didn't see it officially drop from me. And that's my thing. Like, until I see this officially drop on a streaming site or he makes a statement about it or anything like that, I'm washing my hands with this. I'm already washing my hands with the beef because Cole took all the shit back. So
yeah, that alone, imagine like Jay-Z and Nas, like after Ether, Nas is like, never mind. I didn't mean what I said. Yeah, nah, I can't.
Could you imagine Tupac taking Hit 'Em Up back? Like, oh, you know, sorry about that. You know, you're my brother and all, but you know, I couldn't imagine Jay-Z trying to kick knowledge to Nas after he choppy. No, bro. This is rap, baby.
I just want healthy, competitive beef is what I want, honestly, from these guys. But no take backs.
That's hard to ask in rap, and you know that. You know, you've been a fan long enough. We both know that's extremely tough to ask a rapper to do. Because people can barely organize a smack battle and rap in front of each other. Could you imagine? These guys at this level of their fame, like, you know, this is Drake we're talking about here. He's, you know, he's Taylor Swift numbers on the road.
Yeah. I always tell people, like, I don't hate Drake, but I don't consider him an MC. Like, he makes good music. No. He makes good, you know, songs, dance songs, and, you know, hits. But he's not an MC. And hearing this diss track, let's just say it is him. It was okay. It was good, I would say, but it wasn't great. It wasn't like, oh, my God. Like, you know, like, it was whatever, if it is him. But I wouldn't consider him an MC. Like, he didn't go in on it. You know, he didn't go in, like, on an actual diss track. Like, I've heard plenty in the past, so.
Because if it was that bad, even if it's AR or not, if he was like really, really going at these guys, we wouldn't even be talking. We wouldn't have talked about wrestling for the first 45 minutes of the show.
Exactly. We would have started the show with it.
We would have started the show with that shit because come on, man. I mean, but not to pivot away from beef, but let's just stay on rap. My cousin, before the WrestleMania weekend came about, if you guys haven't heard, my cousin, shout out my cousin, man, Jay Spiff. Spiffy Jay Smith. I get his name mixed up because I don't call him that. I've grew up with the guy. So man, he's an amazing rapper. He did a remix to the Kingdom theme song that Cody Rhodes made, produced by Bray D, Poison Rana. And it's really, really good, man. Brayden even actually put the video together to go with the song perfectly. And the way
shout out to John and Way for putting it at the end of on the roll last week.
Yeah, if you listened to John and Way's episode last week, that was cool, man. Because he actually I got him to start listening to John and Way too. So like,
nice
just to hear that too. Like that was actually a cool moment, man. I didn't expect Way to play it. I had no idea that was happening. So I was like, what? My headphones. I'm like, oh, let me turn it up, man. But yeah, it came out great. We sat together, and he just amazed me. I just sent him the beat and he came over like, oh, I'm ready. And it's one of those things, like, oh, I looked at him like, gee, did you know you were, did you know that was hard like that? And man, I was smiling so hard, like mixing it down, man. I couldn't wait for everybody to hear it. And I'm just glad about, happy about the reception that it's getting. And he's been getting a lot of eyes over to his pages and everything. So I want to thank everybody who's showed him some support with his, any of his music or anything, or if you just dug the song or not, man, to thank everyone who checked that out. That was really dope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get at, Sino? You've been watching anything?
I'm trying to, man. Like, I just finished Kirby Enthusiasm. It's a show that I've been watching for like 20 years, and it just series finale, so I was able to binge that before we recorded here. And it was a really, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who didn't see it, but it was a really, really good finale, especially for those people that watched Seinfeld and saw how that finale was. It kind of had fun with it in a way. A lot of callbacks to previous episodes. So I think it was really well done. It's like an hour-long episode, which is double the length of the usual episodes for Curb. Mm-hmm. As far as movies go, I did get to see Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, since my son wanted to see it before Mania, and I was like, when I come back, we'll watch it.
Right.
It was stupid. It was ridiculous. It was silly, but God damn it, it was fun.
Right.
Fucking Godzilla hits a brainbuster to Kong. That's all I gotta say. The movie is over the top, just silliness. Do not expect Godzilla Minus One. It is a total opposite of that. It is a straight up Hollywood blockbuster. It's like they took the formula of Guardians of the Galaxy with like the fun music montages mixed it with like the action of Transformers and kind of just blend it all up and blah, here you go. My son loved it. I loved it. Like, it's a fun freaking movie, but it's not a great movie. That's all I can say. If you want a stupid
hitting the brain buster, I think I have to.
So here's the funny part, and I'll give this a warning, I guess. It doesn't really feel like a Godzilla movie. And looking more into it, it seemed like it was more like it's supposed to be like a Son of Kong type of movie.
Gotcha.
And then later on in production, I guess they're like, we kind of have to put Godzilla in this because that's our moneymaker. So I feel like the Godzilla portion was kind of shoehorned in it. I feel like his scenes were kind of like added in after the fact, and they were able to connect it at the end. So it's gonna, if you're a diehard Godzilla fan, I'm rocking Team Godzilla right now.
Right.
You might be disappointed because this is like, I want to say like 70% Godzilla. I'm sorry, 70% Kong. It felt like his movie. It was like his story pretty much. And Godzilla was like a supporting character. So that's like the only thing you might be disappointed in if you came in for Godzilla. But like I said, it was a fun movie. Fun movie. If you want a really good Godzilla movie, watch Godzilla Minus One. It's like you have choice. It's just like wrestling, right? You got your different choices. You got Godzilla in New Japan, and then you got Godzilla in WWE. You got the Sports Entertainment one, or you got the New Japan one. So
that's actually,
you
know, a great comparison. Yeah.
So
it's actually great.
And like I later found out that Toho, the owners of Godzilla, they have certain like regulations. Cause I'm like, why are they not playing the Godzilla music? Why is Godzilla not doing this? Why is he doing that? And I guess they have like certain things that they're only allowed to do in their movies, and they don't allow the Hollywood version to do it. So that would, if you go into it and you're kind of confused on this is not my Godzilla, that's the reasoning why. Toho, the fact that they had a movie like within the same year, they kind of held some restrictions against it. So like I said, Godzilla is more of a supporting character, but yeah, it's a fun movie. I still need to see Ghostbusters. I haven't heard like too many good things about it, but I do want to check that out because I'm a Ghostbusters fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to check out Monkey Man. I heard really good things about it. It's kind of like John Wick, but it's
Monkey Man.
Yeah, it's Dev Patel, I think, is the director and the actor of it. It's like a straight up act, like a martial arts movie, but it looks really good from what I've seen so far. That's like the only other movie that's out right now that I definitely need to check out.
You know what? It's crazy because I thought the shirt you had on was a Team 3D shirt. I had no idea it was Godzilla shirt.
Oh, with the tie-dye?
Yeah, this is a blue tie-dye. I'm like, oh, it's Team 3D. He's very on brand for 2300 Arena.
I should just wear like the glasses, right? I would have pull up a Bully Ray.
But I haven't watched any movies since I've been back. I haven't seen anything yet. I have to see Godzilla. I seen Godzilla -1 already, and that was really, really good. So I'm excited about this one. Like you said, he had a brainbuster. So I think I need to see this movie ASAP.
You know what came out, I think, yesterday that I didn't see, and I don't know if I'm going to have any intention to see it? Good Times on Netflix.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It did come out, right?
It did come out. I haven't heard any reaction or feedback from it, but what I've seen, like, from the Hollywood, like, people aren't happy about this from what I've seen.
I know. I'm not happy about it.
It looks like terrible. Like,
I think I talked about it on the last episode.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I'm not happy about the preview. So I'll probably check out an episode, you know, and then I'll yell about it on the next episode. What up, though? You guys hear me? Yeah. Cause, they can, yeah. No, Steph Curry. You got to answer for this one, brother. You're the executive producer of this.
Just pulling up some headlines about it. The Good Times reboot is absolutely terrible. original Good Times star disappointed with the Netflix reboot direction. Netflix's Good Times reboot is dated, humorless, and baffling. So the reviews are really, really bad for this. So it kind of makes me want to just, like you said, check out the first episode and see exactly how bad this is. But it's like I'm conflicted because I just talked about Curb Your Enthusiasm. One of my favorite actors on there is J.B. Smoove. I hope he gets a spinoff of that. And he's involved with this, so I kind of want to support him. I like the cast. Some really good people are involved in this show. But like the overall theme of it, it's really dated. It's like you're taking this beloved show from the 70s, Good Times, and you're trying to boondock it up and trying to, like, I don't know what they're trying to do with it. They're obviously trying to get controversy, right? They're trying to do controversy. And speaking of controversy, really quick, fuck that guy that, I don't know if you saw Javon Evans from NXT. This guy put out a video, like, basically calling him
a slave. I've seen this. Yes, I did.
And this is the same dude that, like, said derogatory things to Caleb Braxton in the past, JoJo and Bray. Like, this is a fucking scumbag.
Fucking shock jock.
Pretty much the shock jock. I'm like, this shit still works. This is fucking sick. And then I go to his page, his Twitter page. And this guy's got like a lot of fucking followers. And I'm like, this is really sad that this guy has this platform and people are supporting him. Yep. I just want to throw that out there. Fuck that guy. I don't know your name. I don't want to say your name. I don't want to promote you. I just want to say fuck you. That's it.
Yeah. He's a fucking asshole. I went on his page and because I seen you posted the video in the chat and I was like, okay, already, dude. And you know what? As a black wrestling fan, This is exactly what I, this is it right here. This is exactly what I see all day long. This is what we get to see all day on the internet. This is why I'm not a Twitter guy. I'm sorry. Like people, like if you ever tweeted me anything or if you guys, even you guys tag me, I'm never on Twitter because it's just a ball of hate.
I don't blame you.
And I just can't sit there and get, just see racism all day long. Be like, oh, I'm going to keep coming back to this thing. No, I don't want to see it. Even I don't want to see the bad comments or anything. I'm good on Twitter. So,
imagine being a 19-year-old kid, right? You just started in WWE. It's your first match on TV. Your family's watching. You go on Twitter the next day. You see your name is trending. Oh shit, it's trending, but for the bad reasons, right?
Yep.
It's fucking sad. He commented back. He had support. Like people, I love when you see like Alex Kane and AJ Francis. People that don't even work for the company are standing up for this dude. Like, yo, don't say, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I love to see. That's what I love the wrestling community when they come together for one common cause. So
it's never going to stop. It's going to be consistent. It's always going to be something. People got a problem with Bianca Belair being on the cover of the video game. People got a problem with the Big Three even having the grandiose entrance at Mania. It's always a problem. So it's just like, I just dusted off, man. First of all, that kid is phenomenal.
He's amazing.
That has to be one of the best stalling cutters I've ever seen off the ropes. How do you even get your body to do that? He's 19. He's 19.
I know.
Imagine being 19, signed to a WWE contract. On top of the world, man. Shout out, bro. Shout out. Yeah. I can't wait to see you develop in NXT. I'm going to be watching every Tuesday.
Absolutely.
I just hate it, man. I just hate that we got to go through this shit still. Even at WrestleMania, like, even the things that, like I think I texted you, like, the little girl in front of me was just, saying crazy things. And it's like, this is constant, dude. Like, so as a black wrestling fan, it's never going to end. It's never,
I feel like you're going to see that for WrestleMania for the most part, because you got people from all types of cultures and parts of the world. So it's like what they do in their state or their country is totally different than what we see. And it's sad that we have to see that. But but, like I said, fuck that guy. And I hope all the best for Javon Evans for sure. Shout out to Tiffany Stratton. As I look at my Poison Rana sticker, I stood online for like, what, an hour to get Tiffany Stratton to sign my Poison Rana sticker.
Yeah, shout out to Tiffany.
I love Frank, but brother, next time, I'm going to need you to do a better camera work. Cause I'm like, cause she wouldn't do any selfies or pictures. I'm like, just do a little video of just me just interacting with her. And I think you see like the back of my head for 1 second and maybe like Tiffany's hair floating. And it's like fucking security guard was in the way. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
fuck.
it was a lot of people doing the exact same thing, but Frank had a bad angle on that one. It was tough, but it was, we didn't talk about WWE World. That was a cool experience, really cool, man.
Yeah, we went there on Monday before Raw. We figured, hey, let's check it out. And like we saw all the old title belts were there. They had a lot of the sets. We walked through the Attitude Era. It was really cool to see like the original Nation of Domination gear was there. The Kane gear, it was so cool. And ECW section, you might have seen B-Sabu over here doing the ECW entrance, which is really cool. And I don't know if we publicly released this, but we might. But we did a really cool Poison Rana Bloodline.
Oh, no, I'll put it on the Poison Rana Facebook page. I'll upload it. Yeah, the Poison Bloodline with the Tribal Chief Frank is definitely one of the best pictures we got at WWE World. But it was just cool, man. We got there just in time. Pat McAfee was doing his live show on ESPN.
Yep.
And Cody Rhodes came out.
John Cena was there.
John Cena was there.
It was crazy.
As soon as Cody came out, whatever anybody else was doing, whatever, waiting on food or waiting online for an autograph, everybody left those lines. And they went straight to Pat McAfee's live show and watched Cody come out because he just won a championship. And man, when I say, when you see things like that, I kind of just looked at you guys and was like, he's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the moment I realized, like, oh no, this is the guy. Like at this point, we haven't had a babyface with this height of popularity in I don't know how long. They've been dying for this kind of popularity for a babyface.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the guy. All right.
And he looks like a champion. He just, everything about him just come on. Oozes champion, right?
I might have talked a lot of crap about Cody before, but that was just being playful. He is the guy.
Yeah.
He is the guy, man. I don't think it's anyone bigger. I don't think it's going to be anybody bigger for a long time because, like I said, people were in line for autograph signings and they left. They said, I'm out of here. I don't want to see Jakar Jackson and whoever was it.
Rich Holland.
Yeah. People just like, Cody's theme's hit. We're out of here. But the world was, it was so cool. They had the fan
the auction.
Yeah,
they had the auction thing with Tyler Breeze and Big E. That was really cool. Yep. We just could sit down and you're showing me like the live auction and like the prices that these things were going for were ridiculous. Like he put up like a signed turnbuckle by Cody Rhodes and you're showing me like the live auction. It's like 200, 400, 600, 800. I'm like, this is happening in real time.
That turnbuckle, the Cody turnbuckle started off at $1,000 and I think it sold for like $9,000.
Jesus Christ.
Like almost $10,000. Then every other turnbuckle were, but it was just amazing to see how fast the people were willing to spend that money on these things. Like it was a regular WrestleMania, like Super Bowl chain, you know, like the guys were and Big E just signed it right there on the spot and you just seen the money. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, these people, I don't know how much money these people have, but they're just buying these things up. That was cool though, because we got to just walk up and have a seat. They had a couple chairs lined out for audience, and I guess they had been there for like 4 hours though.
Yeah, so people went back and watched the live stream of it, and I didn't realize Bianca and Montez were there for like the first half, and I think Angela was there too. So that was pretty cool. But it was like kind of sitting down for like a live podcast. We're just chilling, just people are asking questions. You know, I'm like, hey, what's your favorite Wu-Tang album? Like, just really cool things like that. Supreme Clientele, by the way. I'm okay with that choice. He was a little conflicted. He's like, I want to say Liquid Swords, but I'm a big Ghostface fan. I'm like, just say it with your heart, Biggie. And he's like, Supreme Clientele. I'm like, yes.
It's so okay. Like, it's okay. You couldn't have went wrong. You know, exactly. It's not like,
you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong at all.
I was judging you. I was judging because when you told me, I was like, okay, all right, he's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool. Anyone who's going to be cool, but all right, that's definitely one of my favorites. So yeah, Biggie, man, cool guy, man.
Absolutely.
And then just fans just asking whatever their heart desire to these guys. A little girl was asking Biggie something that he didn't even know, and it was just like cool to see those interactions with people. Like she was so shy to ask him something. He was like, you know, like go ahead, like asking her dad.
She was like, what's your favorite color? Like
it was just cool, man. They were sitting out there for hours, and I guess everybody had the chance to ask their questions and everything, and Bianca did a live show while we were there. Montez Ford was just walking around, just chilling. I seen Xavier Woods getting a tattoo.
Carmelo, he said, was
Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, Carmelo Hayes was over there. He went to go holler at Xavier Woods, and he turns around, and it's a line for him behind him. But people just want to take pictures with Carmelo, and he's like, no, I'm not doing a sign right now.
I kept seeing that. I was walking around just a store portion of it, and like Charles Robinson's just walking around the referee, and like a line just formed behind him. He's like, how did this happen? And I turn around, and like Mark Henry and Bully Ray are walking around. It's like, it's really cool. Like just when you could be someplace where just wrestlers are like regular people, and they are regular people.
Yeah, but that's one of the coolest parts of it, because they felt free, you know, like some people were just playing 2K, like sitting there playing WWE 2K with fans, just chilling. So like, yeah, they know they're here. No one's going to rush them that bad. And I'm glad that the fans were tame. They didn't really hound these people unless they were at a signing, you know, because I felt like they knew, like, oh, you're going to get a chance to get a sign, get a picture or get an autograph from all these guys at a certain time. They had the schedule on the board. You knew who was going to be when and where. So that was pretty cool. And the fans didn't really hound these people at all. They were just walking around chilling, which was really, really cool. Usually, I've never been in a setting like that. Usually when wrestlers do anything, they're just pounded by fans all day long. But that was really cool to see.
True, for sure. And probably it was also because it was a Monday and everybody just like tired. It's like, fuck, I just want to get the fuck out of here. But like, it was so cool. Like we're sitting down just having lunch, of course, probably eating like my eighth cheesesteak. And I'm just sitting there the right of me, there's like a live Pat McAfee show talking to Cody Rhodes. To the left of me is Tiffany Stratton. Behind me, you know, it was really cool. Just kind of being in an environment where just everybody's just kind of doing their own shit. So, cool, are we going next year to Minnesota?
Is it in Minnesota? Is it solidified?
It's not confirmed yet, but that's what everybody's saying is Minnesota.
I'm not opposed to Minnesota. It's not far from me either. I could drive up there, given the weather's clear. I really want to see that arena. I'm at a thing right now where I want to see a lot of sports arenas around the country.
Me too.
It was so cool to see Wells Fargo and actually see the Allen Iverson statue.
Yep.
But I didn't see that. I seen every other statue except Iverson because it just got there yesterday, and I already knew. Everybody's going crazy about the Iverson small statue, right?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Right, everybody's going really crazy about it. Philadelphia does small statues.
Okay.
So, and then because I don't think you've seen it on the side of the building. Like, did you see the giant Wilt Chamberlain statue?
Yeah.
That one's huge, right?
Yeah.
But on the side of the building, they had like it's almost like a Walk of Fame, right?
Okay.
But they have a bunch of statues that are about 8 foot tall, you know, they like it's small figures stand sitting on the platform, but it's a bunch of them because it's all the Sixers greats. And so I understood when they showed the Allen Iverson statue. I was like, oh, that's because it's going on the I think it's called the Walk of Legends or something like that. Okay. The Sixers Walk of Legends. It's like, oh, it's going there, so it's cool. Everyone online doesn't know that because they've never seen these things in Philly. It's like, oh, I just seen it. So it's like I already knew. But that's not the only sign that's causing a lot of controversy, and I'm going to talk about this before we get out of here. Because Braden asked me to go over it. Detroit has a new sign. We have a new Detroit sign off the freeway of 94. And it's getting more backlash than the Allen Iverson statue, all right? It's people say it's small. All right, I don't mind the statue. If you're from Detroit or if you're from Michigan or if you just had a look on any news lately, it's probably in the news. Our sign, it's not that bad. They installed this because of the NFL draft coming next week, right? And they wanted something because it's on the way from the freeway. If you were taking the highway from the airport into Detroit, you're going to see it. And it's like an illusion. So you're driving toward it, you get to see it spelled out. And it's kind of cool.
Right.
Because when I was on the way home, I seen it on the way home when they were building it. It's not that bad, but it has the people in an uproar because they said they coined it as a Hollywood-style sign, right?
Yeah.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot by saying that, right? You can't say Hollywood style sign because you're going to think of this giant monstrosity of a sign.
Right.
Only problem is, Detroit, we don't have a mountain to put the damn thing on, all right? We don't.
It's just like on a hill, right? It's like I'm looking at it now.
It's on
it's
a freeway overpass. It's, like, it's okay. It's like, so it's not like we don't have a mountain, all right? There's no mountains to look over the city. It's not going to be a Hollywood sign, okay? We have a lot of highways, okay? We don't have a mountain.
I just love how somebody went ahead and made a diss track about this in front of the sign.
Shout out G-Mac Cash. He makes a diss track for everything.
Okay.
Anything that happens in a city, he has a diss track for.
Nice.
He's like a comedy rapper. So
okay.
if you wanna check out G-Mac Cash's his songs are pretty funny. He talks about everything. Potholes, the weather. He's dissing the weather a lot. He is a lot of about this about the weather. PPP loans, all of these things he has songs about. Trust me, G-Mac
Cash. That's
pretty
hilarious, actually.
Detroit rapper. He's pretty funny, dude. Check him out. But I expected the diss track to come because he was there the first night they did it. The sign is cool to me, man. It lights up at night and shit. So I don't think they installed the lights yet, but they do have the lights like in the, you can see the piping in the grounds and shit. It just needs some flowers and stuff around to make it look pretty. It's not a bad sign. It's not small. When you get up on it, it's like 10 foot.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, looking at it now, it doesn't look too bad. I mean, I can understand the hate, but whatever.
It's not on the side of a mountain, guys. We don't have a mountain, okay? So it's not. You can make a mountain out of abandoned houses. and you can put it on the side of it, but we don't have a mountain to make this a Hollywood style sign. And that's where they messed up at. You can't say things like that. Once you say Hollywood style, we're going to be looking for Hollywood sign. All right.
And yeah, plus, I saw somebody did like an AI generated, like what a real like Hollywood sign would look, and it looks a lot better. If that's what they promised, then they definitely disappointed what they had. You can't say Hollywood sign. And you know what it looks like? It looks like the ones you see like at an airport. You know, when you sometimes
that's exactly what it looks like.
It's an airport sign.
It's an airport sign. But when they first announced it, someone AI generated that, and that's what got everybody going crazy. Mm. The AI is dangerous, all right?
So they're expecting something else, and
been an AI-generated news photo for a while, since before they built it. And they were like, oh, it's going to look like this. I was like, no, it's not, guys.
It's not.
No, it's not, guys. No, it's not going to look like that. But I guess we can put a little bow on this, you know? We've been talking about it. We got some shows coming up. I know you got to get ready for a Collision Course pretty soon. I don't know what's on the card for Collision. You excited for that?
All I know is it's 3 hours because it's a battle of the belts at the end. That's all I really know about. And I know that Athena is finally wrestling on AEW after being trapped in Ring of Honor for the past like 2 years, it seems. So I am excited for that. But a little bit more condensed version. It's more of a hangover episode, as the podcasters say. But next month we'll come stronger and we'll have a lot more stuff that hopefully we can watch after this whole wrestling storm is finally down and out. I could actually watch a movie from my own house and talk about some stuff next month. Not sure what's coming out, but I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about in the next episode.
Not sure. I think it's a couple horror flicks. I'm not sure of the names right now. I can't really shout them out, but I think it's a couple horror flicks I want to check out anyway. So you know, get on that. Plus, I'm going to get back on my music kick full blown. We did have some tracks that was supposed to release with the Cody Rhodes track that we did not finish out. So we got a couple things that should be coming down the pike. If you're into the rap wrestling genre, hey, we got some things coming, man. Jay Spiff has some stuff. I got some stuff. I'm going to be guessing on some tracks. So hopefully I get it to you guys as soon as possible, the listeners or What Up Doe and the Poison Round of the Nation. Hopefully I get these songs to you soon.
Last question. Did you try the hip-hop tracks in Beat Saber? Because I told you they added the hip-hop. Is it good?
I did. Yeah, I what was the song that I played most? I did America's Most. Isn't America's Most Wanted on there? Pocket Snoop?
I'm getting the track listing right now. I know like Nothing But a G Thing is on it. Okay, so we got Tupac, All Eyes on Me,
All Eyes,
Anaconda by Nicki Minaj, Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg, Godzilla by Eminem, which is probably gonna be crazy at that speed.
Not try that one.
Outkast, Hey Ya, Biggie Smalls, Hypnotize, Dre, Nothing But a G Thing, The Message by the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and The Woo by Pop Smoke.
Definitely
a nice little mix. Okay.
The Message is good. Because it's a nice little, and they got a lot of spinning hits in there. Oh, yeah. Shout out another game I've been playing. So I've been playing a game. I just got my Oculus back popping. When I got the hip hop pack and Beat Saber, I was like, I'm trying something else. So it's a game called King Spray, right? And it's a graffiti game. Right.
Ooh, okay.
And so what I've been doing lately, just relaxing. I throw some music on and I just start spraying, man. And right.
This is up my alley, because if you know me, I'm a big fan of Power Wash and I love spraying stuff. Oh, so if you're going to tell me I could do graffiti, I'm looking at it right now. This looks really cool.
Dude, it's so fun. Trust me. And you can change the setting. You can do the subway. You can do a rooftop. You can do anything you want.
So do you freestyle or you do what they tell you to?
You can freestyle. You can freestyle. Nice. You can even pull up a phone and get a reference picture off your phone or whatever, and you can just do whatever. I've done a couple BSK really cool bombs. Yeah, I'm gonna upload them. I did a couple of bombs, so I'm gonna want you to see those. But it's a really good game, especially like old school hip hop fanatic like me.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to get into fucking graffiti, but I'm not that good at that thing. But it's cool. It's kind of like, you know, it's. I can see how it's kind of realistic. I don't know. I would like for someone who actually does graffiti to play it and give me a, you know, review of it. But it's really cool if you want to just relax and throw some music on. And man, I'm listening to Reasonable Doubt doing graffiti on a
that's
fake
freaking
rooftop.
Awesome.
Like, it's the coolest thing ever, dude.
I think I know what I'm doing as soon as all this AEW stuff is done today. If I'm still awake, because my sleeping schedule is crazy, I think I might jump on this Kingsbury graffiti for sure.
Oh, yeah. But that's it. That's all. You can catch me at Cool Game Big B on Instagram and the Twitter. And you can find me on the Facebook page, Poison Round the Facebook page, at the Brian Tannehill. So, you know, where can they find you?
See No Evil, CNOEVIL on all social media platform. And shout out to all of us at Poison Rana and Post Wrestling for all the work we did. For those at home, like Andrew Thompson and Jack Wanon and Neil Flanagan and all those that were there, like myself, BDE, John and Way, we fucking busted our asses there. Like, we had fun with wrestling, but we worked. You know, we were doing shows every single day. We were recording every single day for everybody to kind of be there with us in spirit as much as possible. So shout out to all of us. Best team in the podcast world for sure.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Shout out to the man, Dickie Bird.
Yes.
And you can check out all the Poison Rana gear over at Chop Tees. And
I'm wearing an exclusive hat right now that may or may not be on sale. Yeah, exclusive right now. So
light blue brim on that hat. I don't know if you can get that one, but you can definitely get a What Up Dope t-shirt in three different colors with the new design that me and Sino, well, that Sino actually put together. I'm gonna give them all.
Have we even talked about this?
We all kind of had an iteration of it at Mania. Like,
yeah,
some at one point in time in the weekend, everybody had on this hoodie. Everything just looks good, man. Dickie Bird had his logo on a couple of his hats. It's like that's the cleanest hat I've seen in a minute. But man, Chop Tees is really putting it together. The material is great. It ships fast. Go over there and check us out if you want to support us or you want to support Poison Rhino or Poison Wrestling. So go ahead, check out Chop Tees. Check out poisonrhino.ca for more podcasts, as you already know. And that's it. We out of here. Peace.
All around the city, if you with me, say what up, though. Bring the hammer like it's Valentine. You know we bout that action. Prime breaking through your stable, flaming table used for power bombs. Pristine classics with these matches we putting on. Knees slapping, super kicking, bars strong as Glamazon.